When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So welcome back to the Rick Shields podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Rick Shields. I'm here with producer Guy. Exciting episode coming your way again.
We've got good news and we've got bad news.
What's the good news?
Well, can I do bad news first?
All right, what's the bad news?
The bad news is that last podcast, we promised that this week's would be me and you doing our walk 18 around the golf course with our clubs on our back, didn't we?
We did.
That's not happening.
No, but the good news is this week, for the first time ever, you are getting a double drop of the Rick Shields podcast, everybody. You're getting an exclusive another episode later on in the week, because straight after this episode, we're heading out onto the golf course. It's about 2 degrees Celsius right now.
Yes.
And me and Guy are going to walk around the Marriott Worsley Park with our golf clubs on our back for walk 18, day number 8. And we're also going to record it for a podcast coming out probably Thursday.
I think Thursday. My concern was it's going to be one for the kind of hardcore listener, because it's going to be us chatting rubbish for an hour. So I don't know what I'm going to talk about yet.
No.
And also, the audio, I'm worried, might not be amazing, but it might be. We might surprise ourselves. So I thought, let's package it up as a nice little treat on Thursday. This can be a standard 10 out of 10 podcast today. And the even better news, Rick, for certainly for me, is today's podcast is sponsored.
Yes, so today's podcast is sponsored by Top Tracer.
Yes, and it is the Top Tracer 9 Shot Challenge, which is 9 golf shots at a Top Tracer driving range. There is currently over 350 Top Tracer ranges in 31 countries worldwide. And the 9-shot challenge is 9 shots at Pebble Beach.
Yes, so you get the opportunity to try and compete against people from around the world. They're tipping this as being one of the biggest golf tournaments ever to be hosted, because the amount of participants that get involved is unreal. So you can find out your nearest Top Tracer range by clicking the link down below. And do not fear if you can't get to a Top Tracer range.
Well, that's my issue, Rick, because I'm in the UK. I'm in England, as you know. No ranges open. How can I compete in the Top Tracer 9-shot challenge?
Well,
can I?
Well, this is where they've got you covered.
Okay.
Because they've also got the access to WGT, which is a mobile video game, and you can download it, sign in for free. Mm-hmm. By the way, all of this is free. And you can participate in the 9-shot challenge from the comfort of your living room chair.
Okay.
While sipping a little bit of Monster, while having one of those chocolate bars that we're not going to name anymore. But even if you are in the UK, you can participate. Even if you are a non-golfer, this is what I love about this as well. I mean, I might even get my wife to participate in this, because she doesn't play golf. She doesn't particularly like golf, but she could be really good if it comes down onto the video game on WGT.
So I believe you have already done it on WGT.
I have already done
You've done the 9-shot challenge at Pebble Beach.
Yes.
What was your score?
So how it works it out is how close you get to the hole.
Okay.
It then adds all those numbers up over the 9 shots and it gives you a score.
So you want the lower the better?
Lower the better.
And
now,
your score?
I thought I'd done pretty well. After 9 shots, I thought, you know what? That's not a bad score. Some holes are quite hard to get close to, certainly at Pebble Beach. My grand total score was 265.31.
And where does that put you in the world?
24,000th.
You didn't have the word lisp then.
24,000th in the world. But do not fear, because you can have unlimited goes. So
right.
I'm going to go and have another go. I'm probably going to do it even daily.
Okay.
And I want to see if you can also beat me.
Well, I believe when you first download the app, which is earlier on, you have to play a couple of holes of like head-to-head with other people to try and learn the skills, etc. And then once you've done that, you can enter the challenge. So I haven't done it just yet. I'm going to have a go tonight, right? I'm going to beat your score,
Okay. Destroy
your score, embarrass you, embarrass the Shields family name, and then what I'm going to do is upload my score onto the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast Facebook page, and actively encourage everybody to put their score on
see
and laugh
if they
at
can
your,
also beat you.
Yeah, see if they can beat you and laugh at your pathetic score. How's that sound?
Well, we'll see what happens, eh?
The only thing that's annoyed me is I wish we could have done this on real Top Tracer.
I know.
Because I would actually beat you fair and square there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a bold shout. It's not a longest drive, guys.
The good
this
news
is this
though,
is iron shots, because the longest hole is around about 180 yards.
Yeah.
And the shortest is around about 99 yards.
So that's where I'd get, you know, finesse, the manipulation. You know I'm a big manipulator with the golf ball. I'm talking your three-quarter, six-iron, back foot, face open, little fade left to right, which you've not got in the locker. I know for a fact you've not got that in the locker.
I've also not got a shank in the locker.
True.
Which you have every now and again, so.
Yeah, but I'm a creator. I'm like a quirky, like really cool, like artist you see outside a French cafe. They're a bit odd. They're a bit wayward. They create some real good art, but equally could go missing for ages and no one know where they are. That's like my golf.
I must admit, you've started wearing dad caps a bit more now. So it's like that's this kind of style you're going for.
Very
like
much
it.
Long hair coming at the back. Might start smoking possibly as well. Right. Yeah, I might do. Why not? Rollies, obviously. The good news is though, with regards to the Top Tracer 9-shot challenge. Is there's going to be a few this year, I believe. Yes. So when the ranges do reopen, me, you, Trafford, loser buys the five guys.
I like this.
Yeah.
So participate, get involved. I think it's a really good game to play. Like I say, it's free to enter. You can do as many times as you want. If you can do it at Top Tracer range, then go for it. But if not, do not fear. Download WGT game. Again, I'll put the links to the game down in the description below so you can download it. And again, that is free to do. All of this is free. And you don't go away empty-handed if you do well, because there are prizes available.
I think the prizes for the people at the real ranges are Callaway Golf Clubs. Callaway have sponsored it. I think there's bought wedges, etc. The winners of the online on the WGT, it's like some really cool in-app things like golf balls and stuff.
Virtual prizes. But everyone loves free stuff.
Yeah, I do.
Everyone loves free games. Everyone loves a free attempt at something. And everybody loves beating me. So yeah. If you want all of that, make sure you get involved in the 9-Shot Challenge by Top Tracer. And again, thanks to Top Tracer for sponsoring the Rick Shields podcast. And I look forward to seeing all these fantastic scores you're going to post. Remember, 265.31 is the current score to beat me.
Pathetic. Should we start the podcast off?
Let's start it. Rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah.
Paper, scissors. Boom.
I went late and still won. I went early, sorry, and still won. I went for the good old... rock. I keep wanting to call it potato. I went the rock. You went the scissors. I win. 3-2-1. Hit that jingle.
So while we're in the comfort of a nice warm lounge mm-hmm. at the moment, and before we participate in getting out on the golf course, let's bring our best podcast yet. Now, I know it's going to be a good one because you've planned it really well this week. You have really gone to town in the planning, which excites me because I feel like it puts some structure to the day. And when we've got structure, we can talk with real meaning.
Yes.
And really deliver what we should be delivering. As the number one podcast in golf, we are going to give you the best podcast we can give you today.
That's the difference between me and you. While this weekend you were walking around getting money for charity, I was planning the podcast. So I'm thinking today should be good. Got a lot of different topics. I've got a lot of engagement from the audience. So a lot of good emails this week.
Good.
Some really good emails. But the first thing I wanted to touch on, and I want your opinion on this, because it kind of, as a bit of an equipment nerd, excited me and interested me. Dustin Johnson won at the weekend in Saudi Arabia.
He did.
He was using the Sim driver, not the Sim 2 that's just launched by TaylorMade. How will TaylorMade be feeling about that?
Well, it's quite funny, wasn't it? Because first off, did you notice he had a Sim 2 hat on?
Yeah, it was a horrendous cap, that.
It's not a good design, is it? No. It stands out, to be fair, but it is a definite... What would you describe the text as? Is it like a cartoony kind of...
It almost reminded me of like... word art on Microsoft Word.
Is that what it
stuff?
Is? It's almost like it's so kind of basic, it's kind of cool almost in a way.
That, I think that's the vibe, but I wasn't feeling it.
But either way, Dustin Johnson dominated again in Saudi. He's won there twice now in 3 years, and the year that he didn't win, he came second. But he didn't have a brand new Sim 2 in the bag, like Guy's saying. And that is, I don't know, because normally TaylorMade guys are so quick to switch. I think he has had it in the bag.
I think he has. So, he's what's in the bag at the moment. I'll just quickly go through. And this is off TaylorMade. They sent an email out to any kind of media when he won. Ball, 2019 TP5X, okay?
Okay.
Spider Tour IB Limited Putter. Milled Grind Wedges, 52 degrees and 60. He's got the P730 DG Proto Irons, 3-iron to pitching wedge. Then, this is what gets interesting. 5-wood, Sim Max, 21 degree. 3-wood, Sim 2, 15 degree, the titanium version. And then driver, which is a Sim 10.5 degree. So normally, this wouldn't really be newsworthy that a golfer's worn kind of with last season's driver. But as you said, TaylorMade athletes normally always swap straight away. And the big story, obviously, would always be that TaylorMade athlete has won. The email I got sent through from TaylorMade, which again goes to all kind of the media that are on the mailing list, says Dustin Johnson wins Saudi International armed with Sim 2 fairway. It's not quite as exciting, that, is it? That little fairway at the end just kills it.
Wow. That is... It'd be interesting to see, because like I say, normally I'd almost think it was contracted that they would have to swap very quickly. Now, whether he's now pulling on his power of now being the number one golfer in the world, and he's obviously had an unbelievable year 2020, and obviously he's progressing that into 2021, I can see him winning one or two majors this year, I really can. The way he's playing is just exceptional. It will be interesting to see if it is just a teething issue why he's maybe not switched to Sim 2 just yet, whether they've not had a chance to properly dial him in. But like I say, he's number one player in the world. They would make everything possible to make sure he was using Sim 2.
I heard that the Sim 2 is a little bit more draw biased, and plays a fade.
Yeah.
So with his normal Sim, he's getting that fade shape, whether it be behind the ball, his eye, it sits a bit more open, or the actual performance, I'm not too sure. But it's not great for TaylorMade, that, is it? I mean, do they care they've won an event with the number one athlete in the world? Or, I mean, Brooks Koepka won with it.
Well, that's what's really interesting. So Brooks Koepka, as many people know, he's an uncontracted athlete in terms of equipment, even though he's going through some big changes at the start of this year. So he's sacked off his coach, Claude Hardman III, after many, many years of working together. Coincidentally, Dustin Johnson's coach. So Claude, really, in some regards, has had an unbelievable weekend, because both of his players who he has coached in the past have both won this weekend. Brooks not having a single contract deal. He has very much switched from the famous Mizuno irons that he was using forever when he won his major tournaments. He's now seeing a lot of Schrixon in his bag. So he's got Schrixon irons. I believe he's got a Schrixon head cover on his TaylorMade 2 driver. But he has got a TaylorMade Sim 2 driver in the bag. He came back from not having a chance of winning really come Sunday. And he ended, I'm just going to turn my emails off. How weird is this? Weirdly, I've just had an email from TaylorMade.
Have you?
Yeah. Should we see what it says? Yes. Live on the podcast. TaylorMade takes a major leap on the path to distance with new TP5 and TP5X balls.
All right.
Which I've actually got to review.
Probably the same as last year.
So there is a new ball. So I wonder whether you'll... Exclusive news there on the podcast. I hope that's not under
embargo.
The
golf balls excite you. Don't they excite me?
You know what I like about reviewing golf balls? I think I saw a question recently, someone saying to me, you know, out of all the equipment that you review, what's the most, the kind of favourable thing that you like reviewing? And I do like reviewing golf balls, mm-hmm, because there's so much that goes into it. Like, say, the feel, the touch, the spin, the flight. The
durability,
durability test that I do, chopping them in half. You know, I love those things. But I think, for a golf ball, there is some kind of merit, even though I must admit a lot of the top performing golf balls do pretty much do the same things. Where was I going with this? So Brooks Koepka came from behind. He ended up winning. And I'm envisioning a Schrixon deal coming out of it very soon, like a proper contracted deal, because they've not really got any big name Schrixon.
I can't think of anyone they've got.
Graham McDowell.
Yeah. What about Shane Lowry, actually?
Shane Lowry, yeah.
Yeah.
That's about
it. It's good stuff, Schrixon, isn't it? It is good. It's just... But speaking of Dustin Johnson, another thing that he's done, not another thing, something he's done that's absolutely infuriated me, is that people might have seen him, I'm sure they have. He hit that drive from one of the holes, it's going kind of left. Didn't shout four, and it absolutely clattered a patron.
A fan, or was it like a volunteer? Well,
I think it was a volunteer, because I don't know if they had fans, did they? It was like just a ball spotter or whatever it might have been, and clattered him. It really hit him hard. I think he was
back,
okay.
Yeah.
But why not shout four? Now, I know there's not, like, it's different maybe because you might not have seen him, possibly, I don't know. You would have probably seen him. But why do they have this sometimes obsession, some of these tourists, of not shouting for? It's not cool, it's not big, it's not clever. It sets a horrendous example for youngsters watching the game. Why not shout for? What's it to gain by not shouting for?
I'd almost take a lot of pride in doing it. Like, if I was on TV, I'd almost do it so loud and so obvious to, again, set an example. I think they're sometimes embarrassed about, obviously, hitting wayward golf shots. I mean, that wasn't massively wayward, but obviously there are going to be people down there.
Should get kicked off the course.
I kind of want to give him the benefit of the doubt on that one, because I don't know, again, if he could actually see him. But when there's noticeable crowds, certainly when there's like grandstands around and they just fire it into grandstands. I mean, I've heard players kind of say that they aim for grandstands sometimes because the drop getting from after the grandstand is much, much better than if they would have found the water hazard, let's say, on the 15th at the Masters at Augusta. That was quite a deep start of this, wasn't it?
It is, but it angers me.
Jordan Spieth.
Yeah. Where did he finish in the end?
Didn't do great. In the end, he shot, I think, a 2-over final round. And if he'd have shot 2-under, he would have matched Brooks. So I think he started the day at 17-under. I think he finished at 15-under. Let me just double clarify this. But if he shot 2-over the final day, but if he shot 2-under, he would have matched Brooks's score and potentially, you know, might have taken victory. Let me just double check that score. I'm sure that's right. 15-under... the Spieth 17-under, yeah. So he was two shots behind and he shot a 1-over. So really anything under par, he would have won.
Yeah.
It's nice to see him back.
It is good, I like him.
I still don't think he's quite there yet, but he's certainly finding his form again a little bit. But the round on Saturday was just ridiculous. I saw loads of highlights and he just couldn't miss anything. But it was one of those rounds where he couldn't miss anything, but you could also tell it wasn't ever going to carry on. Mm. You know, when he like holed massive putts and got a lot of good bounces and things like that. So not taking the round away from him whatsoever. But then you see other rounds that are like spectacular and you think, actually, that could have even been better.
Yeah.
You know, you get some of those as well.
I feel like I pretended then for long enough and not long that I won't joke about tour golf, and I really don't. What I wanted to say, though, is I've become a big fan this last week. I've always been a fan, but really immersed myself into the beans on toast scene. And I've had beans on toast this week, I think, six times out of 7 days.
What the hell? Yeah. How have you got onto this topic?
Just thinking then, I really like beans on toast.
I do. It's a quick lunch that I'm a big fan of.
I'm sorry for how I make mine, and then you tell me how you make yours, and we can move on. Just because it's a really good meal, beans on toast. It feels like it's borderline healthy to some degree.
I feel like it's a very English dish, like UK dish, though.
They have beans in America, though, don't they?
They have beans on toast.
I don't know. Beans is beans on toast. Like, that's what it is. It's beans on toast. But so at the minute, I'm going for 3 slices of brown bread.
Okay.
I don't know if that's excessive or not. It used to be 4, but I've cut back to 3 slices of brown bread.
4's a lot.
Yeah, 4's a lot. Quite heavily buttered, which again isn't great. So it's not that healthy, is it? But I used to always be a full can of beans. I'm not anymore.
Really?
I'm half. Because the benefit of a full can of beans, you get more beans for your dollar. More beans for your buck. But the benefit of half a can of beans, you get less juice. Because I like to have the toast quite dry. I don't want the toast to be too juicy. You with me?
I am.
And then it's a bit of pepper.
Okay.
And brown sauce.
Interesting.
It's a good meal before golf. Really kind of feels like it gives that bit of energy. We don't feel too heavy after it, etc. Could have cheese on top.
This podcast was going to be really good today, and we've gone on to this topic. But I also appreciate it. So I'm a two bread man.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll go three, but I'm two most of the time. And I have like a really grainy bread. Like, it's a brown, but it's like a seeded loaf.
Granary.
Something like that. It's really nice. Thick bread.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the trick. I go thick bread. I go quite heavily toasted.
Okay.
Loads of butter.
Yeah.
Full tin of beans.
Oh, with two bread?
Full
tin
of beans. Because I go with thick bread and quite toasted, it doesn't go soggy.
Yeah, but do you not get...
And then I have two options. I either go cheese on top of the beans,
yeah,
then brown sauce.
Okay.
Or I'll go toast out the toaster, slices of cheese on top of the toast in the microwave, melt the cheese on the toast, then full tin of beans on top of the toast and cheese, brown sauce, bish bash bosh.
Do you ever go cheese in the beans while the beans are cooking? I've done that before. Yeah, that's also quite good.
I feel like it just gets a bit lost there.
The reason I got onto this topic was because I actually had there's logic behind it. We've been talking the last few weeks about the mini egg bars. It's become a bit of a meme,
I feel like
it?
We need to bleep this.
Well, I know. This is what I'm saying now. It's become a bit of a meme in the podcast culture, if you like. And a lot of people that are enjoying the podcast are obviously members of the Facebook group, the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast group. And we've been inundated with pictures of the bar.
It's actually quite ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I mean, this really...
Stop it.
We should have two sponsors for this podcast this week, I think.
Exactly.
It should be Top Tracer
and mini egg bar.
Cadbury's.
But the problem is, when people post, I have to accept all the posts in that group, as you know. So when people post pictures of the fact they've bought a bar, I know they listen to the podcast.
And
so I feel obliged.
Yeah,
that's the word just got out of my mouth. Obliged to accept it. So from now, we're going to draw a line under it. There's no more cream egg posts. Okay? They're not cream egg, mini egg posts, mini egg bar posts. Maybe we'll have a day of beans on toast posts, then we'll cut that out as well.
Wow.
But that's how I got on. I was thinking about food before, and then I was thinking about the fact I've been eating a lot of beans on toast as well. I think I've thrown you a bit of that topic, haven't I? You feel a bit...
I feel hungry.
Yeah?
It's getting close to lunchtime, and I'm feeling hungry.
Can I ask you a question quickly, sorry?
Go on.
And I want your honest answer. Have you watched a Tiger Woods documentary?
It's just exactly what I was going to come on to. I was going to surprise you then. Because you know what? You know what really sickened me last week?
Go on.
The podcast. It wasn't... It's terrible, you know, quality. It wasn't the fact that... You know, we talked a lot of nonsense for 50-odd minutes. It wasn't the fact that we had no planning that went into it at all. It was the look on your eyes when I told you I hadn't watched the Tiger
documentary. I'm going to look at that camera now and do it.
Which camera are we looking at? No camera's even pointing at me. Oh, you're looking at the camera,
yeah,
I get it.
Looking at that one.
Tiger documentary.
Yes.
I've watched it in one sitting.
Wow.
I got fairly smashed as well.
Okay.
Two beers and a bottle of wine. So the last 10 minutes, actually, I had to watch again because I kind of...
Oh, my days.
I kind of lost track a little bit about where I was up to. But I watched it, the full sitting. Claire watched it with me as well.
Oh, and she watched the whole thing as well?
She absolutely hated it.
Hated?
She hates him more than she... She didn't, believe it or not, and this is sacrilege, I can't, you know, he is, in my eyes, you know, somewhat God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he thought of himself as well. Yeah. And some we're going to talk about it in a minute. She's not the biggest fan, along obviously with all the affairs and everything else. She came out of it absolutely hating him more, like a lot.
Understandable.
More. I found it very interesting.
What was your favourite aspect of it?
I saw stuff that I didn't. I saw bits that I'd never seen before.
Yeah,
so like I'd seen bits of footage that I'd never ever seen before. Him dancing.
That's why I loved all that.
Like I've never seen him do that. I've never seen him act like that. His girlfriend, his actual girlfriend. Have you noticed, by the way, a lot of them had golf names?
No.
Like, she was called something like...
Lindsay Foreyron.
She was called something like Diane Parr.
Was
or
she?
Something like P-A-R-R. And there was another woman in the show that also had a golf name. I can't remember now. I found it really interesting. And this is my take on it. I believe the documentary shouldn't have been called Tiger. I believe the documentary should have been called Eldrick.
Okay.
Because I see Tiger as Tiger Woods,
mm-hmm.
out on the golf course, you know, winning tournaments.
Red top.
Being Tiger Woods, mm-hmm. being known about the golf. Being like, that is Tiger Woods in my eyes. It's almost like it's a character. Mm-hmm. He's like a superhero. What I felt like in the documentary it showed was Eldrick. Like, who is he? His upbringing, obviously his father, his mother. I mean, they were bloody tight on him, weren't they?
I'm not sure. I'm a big fan of his dad for a lot of reasons.
I don't think he was in the end.
No.
What would have been interesting? What would have happened if they had a daughter?
Mm-hmm.
And what would have happened if they had more than one kid?
Well, his dad has got other children
with other relationships.
Yes, because that's how Cheyenne Woods is Tiger's niece.
Right. So
Tiger's got, I think, two half brothers. I believe I might be wrong. He's definitely got at least one half brother because that's who Cheyenne Woods' dad is. Tiger's fairly close with Cheyenne Woods, I think. So I imagine he's close enough with his half brother. But yeah, if he had another sibling in that household, would that have changed?
And if he had a daughter, like would the same? Because he went in with intentions of doing that to his child, but he had intentions that child is going to be the best golfer in the world
to have lived.
Like, that's it, and he's going to change lives. And to some regards, I think Tiger has under-delivered on Earl's expectations.
Well, like, he's not beating Jack.
Just because, like, the way that Earl talks about Tiger in the fact that he is going to be the next Nelson Mandela, the next, you know, Gandhi, like. He had him up at such a high level. And obviously, he's had massive influence in the world of golf. I'm not sure, though, if Earl wanted him potentially to even do more, potentially.
Possibly.
You know, I don't know what that would have been. And then after that, I found, like I say, a lot of things that I didn't know about. So I knew, obviously, about the affairs, but I didn't really know how they all happened.
The one in Australia was the weirdest.
Yeah, that Rachel woman who turned up at the hotel. It's like I kind of knew all that, but didn't know the timeline, and it was a nice reminder.
Yeah.
Not a nice reminder, but it was a reminder of that time because, in a weird way, I've forgotten about it.
Yeah, I have.
I forgot.
Do we choose to forget to some degree?
Yeah, I completely forgot about all the lies, the deceit, the injuries even.
Yeah.
I forgot he was out of the game for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, I forget that time when he posted that swing on Instagram.
Oh, it went mad.
And I remember that. Yeah. Like, we shared it loads. I think I shared it two or three times. I just remember going, this can't be real. Like, he can't be coming back. And if he is coming back, it's just going to be like an exhibition. The fact he's come back and won, the fact he's come back and won another major. It was one of those weird ones where, because you knew so much about his golf history, this filled in the blanks. So I don't see it as an actual proper documentary. It was a fantastic piece of work,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. And the way they've filmed it, and listening to Steve Williams, like, that for me, really...
That was unbelievable.
Like, he was my best character in the documentary, mm-hmm. because I just learned so much more about Tiger.
And I quite liked his first girlfriend as well.
Yeah.
I did think Steve was good.
Yeah, something Power or whatever her name was. But, like, I just felt like it filled in the blanks between the golf, because... That, and I think that's why it wasn't so much of a golf documentary, because that could be a 10-part documentary.
Yeah. All right, then, question. I know you see it as two people, Tiger and Elgic, but let's just package it as one. He's one person. After watching that, learning more, remembering things you might have forgotten, etc., hand on heart answer now. There's no right or wrong answer, obviously. Do you think any less of him now?
Yeah. Mm. As a family man, someone who's married, I've been married for 8 years now, coming up to 8 years, got three kids. Like, I can't imagine at all being able to lie to my wife's face, mm-hmm. like he did, and to go behind her back and to cheat and to have affairs and to, you know, certainly when the kids were so young.
Well, he had both children, obviously, didn't yeah. he, before
like, it so out. Young. You know, he really, I mean, my wife mentioned it, he almost got this God complex. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I do think of him a little bit less in that regard. But also, some side of me, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, and I'm not sure if other people felt like this way, I could understand why he got to that point in his life. I'm not saying it's right at all, not even close, because you can still control your own destiny. Like, yeah, your upbringing obviously has a massive impact on who you are as a person, your morals, your beliefs, but you can still snap out of that and go against that, you know, and that's something kind of he didn't do. Mm-hmm. He almost saw it as an opportunity to completely follow in his dad's footsteps. I think the one biggest thing, and he's not the only sports person that's ever happened to this, it's happened to other sports people that have certainly reached excellent level. They didn't have a childhood, did they, really? Like,
no.
They didn't have, you know, those clips of him dancing and in that girlfriend's house and things like the other. That would probably been so, like, three or four times.
I wonder then, without giving it away, if it was a bit of a spoiler, if people haven't seen it, so, sorry, maybe just fast forward 30 seconds. If his parents hadn't made him split up with that first girlfriend, I wonder if he maybe would have stayed with her and fairy tale been happy ever after.
Potentially.
Who knows?
Potentially.
So you're happy you watched it?
I am.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to talk about it. I feel like I've got an opinion on it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend people to watch it. I just felt a little bit as well like I'd betrayed Tiger watching it. Like, because I feel like, you know, it's a bit like if someone made a hate video about us and everyone went and watched it. It's like...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Like, should you really be watching it? Because he wasn't, he didn't have a voice to retaliate, or he didn't have time to, I'm not saying that he could retaliate on some of the accusations or the, not even accusations, proof that what happened, but it would have been interesting to hear his take. And I think that, but then does that go biased too much the other way? Because a bit like the Michael Jordan documentary, I bet if that was done without Michael Jordan, we'd have learnt a lot more different things as well, potentially.
True. So this podcast is getting filmed today.
Yeah.
We're not sure what bits are going to be on the YouTube channel, on the second channel yet. So the second channel, if you don't know about it, search on YouTube for The Rick Shields Golf Show and you'll find it. Subscribe. Have we got about 30,000 subscribers or something
now,
roughly?
Yeah, we have, yeah. 30-odd.
I think this next bit's going to be a video, which might be a clip, but I don't know if you're going to want to answer this or not yet.
Okay.
So Rick has got no idea what I'm going to say to him. The reason I want to ask you this is because it's going to be a sick title for the podcast. And it's going to be probably a good title for the video if we do a video on it.
Okay.
But we might not choose to do it. So this might, you're not going to hear all this. This might be a waste of my breath. On the weekend, there was a tweet tweeted, okay, by somebody that works in the golf industry. He'll know in a second. And I'm not going to name his name. No reason why I wouldn't name his name other than just it's, there's no point, really. But he's put, today, YouTubers, there's a lot. And this poll can only support four. So I will list the top four by subscribers that do equipment reviews and have no equipment deal in place, okay? Which of these YouTube channels do you trust the most with regards to golf equipment reviews, okay? Rick Shields, Peter Finch, James Robinson, or TXG? And the results are in. Have you seen the results?
Yeah, yeah.
So TXG...
I'm guessing you've not seen my DMs.
No. TXG won by getting 47.4% of the vote. Rick Shields, who sat beside me to my left, got 30.7%. James Robinson got 12, and Peter Finch came in last with only 9.9%. Now, as this to you before, the world of people that live on golf Twitter are very hardcore, very, very nerdy, for want of a better phrase. That's just the case. So they will always kind of be more showing allegiance like a TXG, who are very, very kind of analytical and long-form content, and again, very kind of nerdy. I don't mean nerdy in a derogatory term, but very kind of
passionate.
Yeah, whereas they'll see you as being super mainstream and a sellout and all these things, just because that's just what they will. Anyway, all that said and done, how do you feel with that 30% of the vote? Do you feel annoyed that people trust you only second? How do you feel, basically, trying to get to?
Allow me to show you the DM that I sent to that individual who posted it. And read what I sent to him and then his reply.
Okay.
And then while you're doing that, I'll answer.
Okay.
I think it's really interesting. I think with reviews online, and I've said this many times before, I review product. I don't test product. So for me, a testing process would be much more calculated. It would be much more measured. It would be much more scientific, let's say. And there is definitely a market for that, and there's some guys who do an unbelievable job of that. I would put my golf spy in that category, where they hit thousands and thousands of golf shots, 100%. Now, in the YouTube space, you have to create content that's engaging, that's fun, that's exciting. And for me, that's what I do. I try and review a product and make it fun, make it exciting, but still have an opinion on it and have an opinion on looks or sound or feel or price or performance or whatever it may be. But I never vouched for it to be a scientific test. It's more as a review of my own personal opinion on that product. So for me, having that balance is really quite interesting. As you mentioned, I would say what we do now is perceived as being more mainstream, because we wrap up a really, really thorough, detailed, fun, exciting, informative review, and I'm going to use that word review, in 10 to 15 minutes in a really nice, well put together video that we're super proud of.
Yeah.
I don't believe anyone else on that category does. And I don't actually believe anybody in the world does what we do at our level, personally. THG won that vote. And I can see that. I can see Twitter, THG, winning that vote.
Yeah.
Because like you mentioned, it's much more passionate. But they make 40-minute videos testing a product. And they do an unbelievable job. But listen to the words I'm using. They test the products more.
But it's also, again, this is what I said to alluded to at the start. It's where the viewer sits. So our viewers, we know by having 1.45 million subscribers, they're not all hardcore serious golfers. People listening to this podcast or watching maybe serious golfers, but a lot of them aren't. So they don't go to golf Twitter universe to engage and react, whereas a lot of the TXG audience will do, which is, again, completely fine.
What did you think my DM to him?
Yeah, it was fair enough.
I just, for the person who made the DM, he works for a big golf brand. And for me, he's trying to do market research in a space that's not the best way of doing market research.
He's not, is he? He's just trying to get some engagement on his own Twitter account. Yeah. He's not asked about
it's just a very
research.
Kind of, in my opinion, very unprofessional way of doing
it. The best way of doing market research is looking at the views.
Yeah.
But if people watch the channels he trusts, or shouldn't watch it, would they? Yeah. So there's the market research. He's doing it to get some. He works for TaylorMade, let's just say how it is. And he wants to get some engagement on his Twitter feed.
Yeah. I just think it's disappointing because, obviously, there's only four polls you can pick. And you have to pick someone, so yeah. You have to show some level of, you know, favoritism. And then I feel like, as I mentioned the message, I just feel like the comments and the replies just get very volatile and aggressive and start name-calling unnecessarily because, again, those four channels that they've mentioned there and all the channels that also test or review products are so different, and that's what I think is so great about YouTube and social media, that there is diversity and difference, you know. But it's one of those. I wasn't happy with it, if I'm honest. He's done polls like that again in the past, which I've not been particularly pleased about. And even ones that I've won. Like, I'm not annoyed that I didn't win that poll. There's been other ones where I've won it, but I've still not agreed with the poll because I don't believe it's right.
I don't trust a word that comes out of your mouth, so. Do you want a bit of a dear Rick?
Yes.
This is a good one, this. Again, this might be a little video clip we might use, but it's a really... something that you'll have possibly some experience with in a good way and a bad way, potentially. Okay. I'm not going to name the person's name, which should become evident why. Love the show, and thanks, Rick, for bringing me back to the game. I have quite an issue I don't know how to deal with. After taking a long time off from golf for about 10 years, I decided to join a local course and take it more seriously. I enlisted the service of a local instructor I found online. So far, we've done about 15 lessons, and he's really made my game so much better, even to the point where my wife now goes for lessons every 2 weeks. So even though he found him online, I think he's going obviously face-to-face to have lessons with him. The issue is, I feel I have pretty much maxed out learning from him. I don't feel like I'm getting my money's worth anymore, and I want to continue with somebody else. Maybe a pro's got a simulator, etc., to show me more analytics. The instructor and I have become good friends, and I don't know many people around the area, so we play together monthly as well. So he's become a bit of a friend as well as a coach. How do I professionally and personally let him know that I want to start seeing a new golf coach? He will still be teaching my wife, and I'm always willing to play a team with him, but I want to take it more serious. I don't think he's up for the task. With love and respect, I'd like to hear your opinion on this.
It is an interesting one because, I have had situations like this. You know, I would say... Let me just break this down into two ways of responding. So, golfer, we'll call him. Can we call him like Frank?
Yeah.
Okay. So Frank, who
his name actually is Frank.
No, he's not.
Yeah, no, I'm joking.
So Frank, who goes to this golf coach and obviously has seen great improvement after 15 lessons, he feels like he's maxed out. I think it's a couple of things. I think first off, you've got to manage your expectation levels because you do see fast improvement early with lessons.
Yeah.
So the first three or four lessons or maybe five lessons, that's where you're probably going to see the vast majority of your improvement because that's where the biggest changes are made. Then over that next period of time, if you've been for 15 golf lessons now, it's probably more the quantity of lessons that you've taken as opposed to the quality of lessons that you've taken. Because I'm sure the quality has been really good. So for me, it's maybe... you don't maybe have to go and search a different golf coach unless you're actually looking at certain topics. Let's say, for example, Frank goes to this coach who's called Tommy, and Tommy says, you know, Frank says, I need to work on my putting. And he says, well, actually, I've booked in with a putting coach. Like, work it with Tommy to go and see a putting coach or a specialist in that area. If you weren't getting on with them, then potentially, just break it away and you know, go off somewhere else. I've had that experience in the past where I've had students move to other golf coaches, and I've had other students move to me from other golf coaches. And sometimes just a fresh pair of eyes makes a massive difference, the way it's explained or the way it's demonstrated or whatever it may be. I think where it's probably got messy in this situation is become friends.
Yeah.
And I must admit, that's probably the mistake that's been made, as opposed to it being the wrong coach. Because I think as soon as you become friendly with a student, too friendly, it loses that purpose.
Do you think there's also an element, I'm probably going to say this word wrong now, it's on my mind, but that the law of diminishing returns, where it's like, obviously once it gets to a certain point, other things have to change. So maybe he's gone to this coach for 15 lessons, and let's just say, naturally he's improved his grip, his swing, his strike, etc. He's getting a bit better at golf, but he's at the point now where unless he starts working on his fitness, or playing a hell of a lot more, or hitting loads more balls, he's just not going to improve, and it's almost the coach is irrelevant, potentially.
And the other thing as well is, how much is Frank coming back to Tommy with information? Like, is he playing three times a week and coming back to Tommy and going, right, this is what I want to work on, X, Y, and Z. This is where I feel like my weaknesses are. Or is he just playing once a week, having a lesson once a week, or whatever it may be, and not actually coming back with any evidence of things to improve? But I think, like I said, that's the one balance, and I've always tried to be really, really strict with it, is the friend / professional relationship. When you're working with a student, needs to be coach and student, in my opinion. I think as soon as you cross that boundary between friends, it gets really, really tricky. Because again, let's say, you know, and I don't really coach any of my friends, let's say, even though, you know, they've asked me for advice in the past, is because you end up chatting.
Yeah.
You don't end up working. Like, you end up talking about girlfriends or going out or whatever it may be, instead of actually what we're going to work on right now. You're my student, I'm your coach, we're going to work on this. I think it takes a very interesting mix of characters if you can still be friendly and have that really strict working relationship as well.
Sounds good.
So Tommy and Frank. Frank wants to try someone else, go for it. I would maybe just explain it to Tommy. We become too friendly. And
you do me, Eddie, and I'm sick of your rubbish jokes. You're rubbish at golf. You put me off. I don't want to play with you anymore. Yeah. So this week, I said I've been a big fan of beans on toast.
Okay.
I'm enjoying that. Okay. Can tell you something that's really grinded my gears, which I don't like. I won't tell you anyway. So yesterday was the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Which I have no interest in, which is absolutely fine. Obviously, a lot of Americans listening will have massive interest in. Again, absolutely fine, of course. I think it's the national sport of America, isn't it? American football, I think it is.
Well, they've got so many sports.
Well, yeah, but I think it is American football, because they've got...
It's called American.
Well, yeah.
Football.
Must be, yeah. What annoys me, angers me, I loathe, I despise, is when people from England who have absolutely no interest in American football, all of a sudden, when it's Super Bowl, pretend they suddenly like it.
Yeah.
And start going, go Hawks, or... go Sparrows, or whatever they're called. Tom Brady this, Tom Brady goat the other. They've got absolutely no clue about American football. I don't care, but yet they think it looks good on Twitter.
Yeah. I'm glad you got that off your chest. Yeah, I feel like you needed that.
I saw a lot of people in the golf world posting it on Twitter this weekend, and they've got absolutely no interest in American football. It annoys me.
It is an interesting one, because obviously it comes around once a year, and I don't know anything about American football. Like, I've never really watched a game. I've tried to watch the Super Bowl in the past just because I wanted to when I was younger. Probably watched about 15, 20 minutes, got bored.
Yeah.
It was dead long. I like the halftime shows.
It's not,
I always watch the halftime shows. They're really good.
It's not a dig on American football, though, because obviously a lot of our listeners will love it. It's when people pretend they do to jump on the bandwagon.
Like, I don't know enough teams. I know Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I know the Patriots, but he doesn't play for the Patriots anymore, does he, even?
Like, I have no idea.
No, because... I think he's won 7 Super Bowls now, which is an unbelievable achievement. And like they are...
Look at you on the bandwagon.
saying he's the GOAT. And he is. Like, in sport, you look at his performance. I mean, he's 43 years old. And he's won that many, you know, Super Bowls. And he's still winning them now. But not on his own.
Yeah.
You lost, haven't you?
I'm nothing against American football. It's the people that pretend they like it because it's the Super Bowl's on.
I get that.
And they have to make sure they tweet and Facebook it and Instagram it throughout the night to make sure everybody must know that I've watched Super Bowl because I've watched it, you know, so make sure you know I've watched it. That's what annoys me.
If they get quizzed on it, would they have any response at all?
No, they wouldn't. But I just wanted to get it off my chest. It was really... we can do more of this on the walk after.
Okay.
A lot more of this kind of... It comes like a therapy session for me because I've got a lot of things that have grinded my gears. I had a good email as well. It's a funny one. It's like a nightmare goal, but it's not really a nightmare goal. So it's quite short and quite sharp, but it just was quite good.
Okay.
So it was really simple. I just said, it was about 8 or 9 years ago. I had the worst round of golf ever in my life. It was just one bad shot after another bad shot, and it took me about 6 hours to play 18 holes, and I finished the round with 135. Okay?
Oh, that's a lot of shots.
I told myself that if the next round was just as bad, I'm going to sell my clubs and just quit.
Okay. I kind of get that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty bad round.
The very next round, I went out and shot 88, which was the best round ever up until that point. I say all this to just say, don't give up, keep on trying. It was only short and sweet. I just thought, that is quite interesting that he's going to shot 135, which
you wouldn't finish a round if
bad score. Obviously, everybody starts somewhere, but he sounds like the whole putting story is he plays golf a lot and it was an absolutely horrendous round. And then went out the next, very, very next day and shot 88, which, if my math is correct, is 47 shots better.
Nice. He needs to go and see Tommy. Tommy will sort him out.
Tommy will take your money.
But yeah, I mean, that is what's so fascinating about golf. Like, there's so many times where you can have a fantastic round and then follow it with a horrendous round or the other way around. Yeah, I think expectations...
You said the word round a lot of times then.
I think the expectations plays a big factor in it, because if you're going out expecting a great round and have a shocker, it just compounds errors and you just think it's the worst thing in the world. And then if you go around the next day with not a single level of expectation, and you can absolutely kill it.
Yeah. How far in are we?
45.
Okay, I've got a couple of questions off Facebook then, and I'm sure we're going to do the walk.
Yeah.
So...
I might talk about the walk as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Mark's asked, is there going to be a YouTube golf day again once this ridiculous COVID is out the way? And if so, will we be able to buy tickets to come and watch? Maybe proceeds could go towards Mind...
Nice. I liked doing the YouTube golf day. It was a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And... I felt like it really brought the community of golf and YouTube together to some parts. I would never say never. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if it's going to happen, I would be one that'd want to host it again. and maybe I'd do one in the United States.
Oh, okay.
Potentially.
So all the UK people will be thinking, oh, I can't go. Maybe we could do two.
Maybe we could do two.
I think we've had this discussion before about it. Like I said, it's a lot of hard work, but... I think, like, because obviously you alluded back to Mind then and what you're doing with this Walk 18, there's definitely some element of raising money and golf, YouTube and the community coming together to possibly do something.
Well, the good thing now is, certainly YouTube Golf Day, we've got a blueprint now.
Yeah.
Like, the first year was so hard because we had no idea and it changed so many different times throughout the planning process, where now at least we've got some level of that's what we did last time, what could we improve on X, Y, and Z? I would like to do it again, though, but like I say, I'm not stained for definite.
Let's see. Say subscribe to the channel, follow on all social media, and you'll know.
Yeah.
It's simple, isn't it? So Marcus, this is a good question, actually. I want to see how you answer this one. If the Bridgestone Tour BXS video... In the Bridgestone Tour BXS video, Rick states that it could be the very best ball he's ever used. Well, why didn't he use it then?
That's a good question. There's no massive reason, because it's so... I could do... If I probably played more golf, which we've got something very exciting coming up this year.
We have.
With about playing golf. If I'm playing much more golf and starting to really factor in my score much, much more than I would do in the, you know, at the moment what I'm doing, potentially I might look at every element in my golf, but every single thing that I do, how I can improve performance. It's not a bad ball at all. Obviously, I said it's one of the best balls I've ever tested. The other thing I've always been very wary of is when I'm testing and reviewing golf clubs is to have a ball that everybody knows and everybody has used at some point. So for me, I always particularly test with Pro V1 because it's the flagship golf ball. It's the one that everybody knows about. And I wouldn't want to change that just because my own personal preference. Like, I feel like people then not know what the Bridgestone ball would perform like. And then let's say I'm testing a driver next year, and then I have to go, well, I tested this driver in 2022 with the Bridgestone golf ball, but the one that I tested in 2021 was the Pro V1, and it just gets a little bit messy.
No, else would be a factor, and this isn't something that matters to you at the minute, but I probably almost subconsciously, is the fact that with a ball like a Bridgestone, it's almost that risk as a golfer. If you go to a pro shop to go before you tee off and you've run out of balls, they don't have them in or something. I know it's not a massive deal, but with Pro V1, you know, everywhere you go, you're getting them.
And I've got a lot of Pro V1s.
You've got a lot of Pro V1s. There's a lot already scattered around the Marriott Worthy Park as well. You can always
find some today, actually.
And then last question I've got for you is from Daniel Long. And he said, how many videos do you have banked any one time? I assume you always have some in the back pocket in case something else comes up.
It's a good question. It can vary, can't it? Like sometimes if we know we're in a sit, like I thought we did unbelievably well the first lockdown, so we kind of rumored it was coming about 10 days out, and we absolutely banked as much as we could. Like, we literally filmed every single day. Luckily the weather was good, we had loads of great ideas bar maybe one that we filmed, but all the videos we absolutely smashed because we had to do it. We had to get content ready because at the time I didn't have my home simulator. I didn't know when we were going to be able to film again. So at that point, yeah, we banked loads. Typically we'll bank a lot of Facebook videos in one sitting, so I might do 6 or 10 videos in one sitting for Facebook. And then YouTube, it's we're probably about a week to 2 weeks ahead max. Certainly this time of year right now, it's very weather dependent, it's ideas dependent, product or whatever it may be. I don't also like to get too far ahead, and that sounds weird, because what I like doing is, let's say, and I'm sure you're the same, let's say we film a video today,
yeah,
and we know it's going to go out Friday. Like, I'm so excited about that video,
yeah,
when it's going to go out. And I feel like that excitement really, really comes out in the social media posts or the lives before I release the video, whatever it may be. Where if I filmed that video 3 months ago, I've forgotten what that passion felt like. What am I excited about in this video? So yeah, we don't bank too far ahead. I'd love to bank a little bit further ahead, but it's kind of quite like living by the fly of our tail. Is that a saying? Is that a saying?
I've no idea if that's a saying. It doesn't sound like one.
I've got two quick things to follow up on. I saw a few comments asking me about the swing speed stick training. So far, I've done 3 weeks of swing speed stick training.
Yeah.
And weights and home workouts.
And you've lost 3 miles an hour.
I've done 9 swing speed workouts.
Yeah.
So 3 a week, which is what is advised. My plan was to originally stick to Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I've not really been doing that, but I've been getting them in in a week. So I've typically been leaving a day's gap and then doing another swing speed training session. Weirdly, I've not seen anything faster on the radar than 132, which was the first time we ever did it at home in that first video. So I've never seen my swing faster than 132. And when I'm now moving on to hitting drivers, which I've probably not done enough, I've not stood there and hit like 20 drivers literally as hard as I could, as I can, to try and raise the swing speed up. I've been doing a lot of the swing speed stick training, but not enough driver hitting training, because at the moment it doesn't seem to be carrying over. So I can swing faster. I've seen evidence of swinging like 115 miles per hour at the moment at max, but that's nowhere near average yet. So time will tell. We've got 3 more weeks to go.
I'm expecting big things.
I was expecting big things. I feel like my expectations have dipped slightly.
Medium things.
Yeah. Like, it might just be like a 2 miles per hour increase, even though on the box it says 5%.
Not selling second video here to me much.
It could change, though.
It could change.
We're halfway through.
Who knows?
And then walk 18.
Yes.
So far, I've done 7 walks so far, Monday to, obviously, Sunday. We're going to do our 8th one today. The support has been mind-blowing.
Ridiculous.
Like, unbelievable. I want to personally thank everybody that has watched the video, shared the video, made comments, and certainly donated. So in 1 week, the grand total right now is £26,000 we've raised for charity, for Mind Charity, which is a mental health charity that offers support, advice, helplines. If you are struggling, if you need someone to talk to, if things are getting you down, which obviously for many people at the moment, it really is, you know, not just, obviously we're talking about golf and not being able to play golf and not be able to socialize and talk and get fresh air. But also you can talk about relationships, you can talk about financial issues, you can talk about all sorts of things. You know, at the moment suicide rates up, which is a shocking stats. Mental health rates are going up, mental health issues are going up as well a lot. So if we can raise loads of money, Mind have emailed me as well and said we're doing a great thing, so that's really good to get them on board as well. They said the money's going to go a long way. Our original plan was to raise 18,000. I thought we would struggle to do that in the month. We've now done 26, we've already surpassed that 18,000. I'd love to keep hitting the next milestone. If by this time next week we're on 30,000, it'd be amazing. By the end of February, if we are knocking on the door of 50,000, it would absolutely be astonishing.
You should almost have, these are big goals, but 18 was the first, 36 would be ridiculous, and 54, so it's always in like 18s.
Literally, what's mad, we sat here almost this time last week, filmed the podcast with zero pennies in the Just Giving page, because we hadn't actually released the video. So like, to think in 7 days, the support out on the streets has been amazing. I was walking the street, did my fancy dress on Friday, which I'll do another one this Friday. I had a guy literally stop his car, get out and say, amazing what you're doing, and literally give me £20 for donations to charity. Really? So it's like, and I've had loads of people driving past beeping the horns, and you know what's been really... The thing I've enjoyed the most is actually speaking to people who don't know what I'm doing. So dog walkers, for example. Because it is weird when you walk in the streets with a set of golf club on your back.
I'm looking well, we're doing around here, aren't we, afterwards? So that's not too bad.
So like, people literally look at you like, what are you doing? Like, and some people are nosy than others. Like, some people literally go, why have you got your clubs? Or they'll try and crack a joke or whatever. And it's fine, because it's interaction. And I'll do my best to talk to them for a little minute or two, because I'll explain to them why I'm doing it. I'm walking 4 miles a day, roughly 7,000 yards, because at the moment golf courses are closed. And, you know, with golf courses being closed, a lot of people are struggling with, you know, health issues, communication issues and everything else. But before you know it, I'm chatting to them and they're talking about how great golf is. Like, in a 2 minute conversation. So even though it does look a bit weird, it does strike up conversations with people. I really appreciate people who've actually been going out on social media and doing their walk 18 as well, which is amazing, either with golf clubs or not with golf clubs. Either way, it's all good awareness, all good kind of energy and passion behind the cause, really. So hopefully. And I've been doing, averaging at the moment, nearly 12,000 steps a day.
That's good.
So hopefully it's going to help me get a bit fitter as well.
Yeah. I don't know what to say after that. It's very, very well said.
So we're going to go and do our one today.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Wrap up warm. It stopped snowing.
I'm going to do a what's in the bag while we're walking around. If you want to hear what clubs I've got in the bag, from putter to driver, feel free to jump onto the next podcast on Thursday. Also, the good news, 2 podcasts in a week might bump up the charts a bit more as well.
Can we go any higher?
Well, in sports, the UK, we can.
All right.
So that'd always be nice.
What temperature in Fahrenheit is 2 degrees?
It's normally double it now. It's about 34, I think.
So for US audience, that's kind of what we're going out in at the moment, 34 degrees roughly. Right.
Ready?
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for supporting it. Go and check out Top Tracer. Get your 9 shots done. Post your scores in the Facebook group or social media. See if you can beat 26531. And we'll see what Guy shoots later on today.
Yeah, tag us at the Rick Shields Golf Show on Instagram. Put in your story. We'll share some, etc.
And we shall see you soon. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we shall see you next week. Oh, no. See you Thursday.
See you Thursday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.